This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello there, welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. Double figures have arrived. This is episode number 10 for the season. And with me from minute one of the first one was Ollie. He's here, he's back again. Welcome to episode 10, mate.
Yes, thanks for having me back again. I've been really enjoying the podcast. I think they're a good little outlet, and it's nice to see that the following feels the same. You know, we seem to be going to strength, which has been brilliant. So yeah, no, really loving it and looking forward to many more episodes.
Breaking news is the announcement of John Harley as Pompey's new assistant manager. You'll get our reaction to that. We're then going to briefly chat about the fallout from Plymouth, which feels like a little while ago now. We'll run through Tuesday night, of course, a game we won right at the death against Burton. We'll look forward to our trip to the only unbeaten side at home in League One, Lincoln City, this weekend to round everything off. But before all that, we had a new feature last week, which we will return to later on in this week's episode. So stick around until the very end for best case, worst case. But we have an even newer feature now to add to the very start of the episode, Ollie, which is shout outs.
Wow.
Sam left us a message on this week's episode and he said, "Hey lads, just wanted to say loving the podcast. I'm lucky to probably be the first person who gets to listen to it as I'm in Australia. It lands perfectly for my morning drive to work," which I'm assuming that's in response to us saying that last week, where is everyone when they listen to it? And Sam's in Australia. So thanks, Sam. He went on to say, "Pompey born and bred, but living in Brisbane. I was back in December to witness the home game." Yep, those home games. So sadly, he might have been here for the MK Dons Charlton game. So it's not what we're always like, Sam. I'm sure you know. He said, "If you ever want a different PO view and an Aussie guest, let me know. Keep up the great work." So massive thank you to Sam. We're definitely wanting to explore having guests on with us. And Simon also left us a message on Spotify this week too. He said, "Good listen as always, chaps. Listening on the way to the Burton game. Didn't get to listen earlier. Like the new feature. Think there's an outside chance of the playoffs. Fingers crossed for a big Pompey win tonight. We're all delighted to hear that you're enjoying these episodes. More of where that came from, please, Ollie."
Yeah, well, I mean, we enjoy making them and everyone seems to enjoy listening to them. So I think it's a great little thing. And yeah, long may it continue. And like we said, we do want guests. So I'm sure we could do an Australian visit at some point. That'd be great. If not, we'll just have to fly out and film it, you know. 4-0 would have to pay for that, of course. But
expenses, yeah. Put it on the 4-0 expenses. So the news today that John Harley's left the under-23 set up at Chelsea to join John Mousinho as his assistant manager at Pompey. Former Pompey player, of course, John Harley. He's played in the Champions League. He has a UEFA Pro licence and he met Mousinho through that course that they were doing. Obviously a massive plus for Pompey in terms of the renewed commitment to developing youth talent with this news, and great to have another head in the building to support Mousinho on the touchline. 10 years at one of the best academies on the planet is a great addition to Mousinho's staff.
Fantastic. And not only that, it's the experience that comes with it from being a part of a bigger club like that. You know, he's going to know the inner workings of a big beast like Chelsea. You know, that you imagine what we've got in terms of finance, they're tenfold of us and more. So for every person we've got, they've got 10 doing the same job in essence. And that's going to really be an eye-opener for him and a way to introduce some new ethoses, some new ways of practicing, some new way thought processes, some new technologies maybe. All those kind of things will come through with him. So I think he's a massively good addition to the club and to the squad for the future.
We'll cover Plymouth briefly. We spent 4-0 Sunday Live breaking down everything. We can dive deeper into Burton more than this game, given the recency of Tuesday. We all knew heading down to a team that's played 15, won 14 and lost 1 at home all season would be an absolute touch if we won. And I'm glad we went for it after Rico got one back at 2-1 down, Ollie. But when you push and you gamble, and particularly at a place like Home Park being as unforgiving as it is, there is a long way to fall if it goes wrong. And so it proved for us.
Yeah, but like we said before, you know, they're Plymouth are top of the league, absolutely flying. We're going away to them. Their home record's outstanding. We can't, and with the form that we're in and the way we've been this season, we can't be expecting anything more than, you know, what we got, really, in honesty. But the fact that we went out and we gave it a game and we gave it an effort and we properly gave a fight and a battle for it, and we gave ourselves the opportunities as well. Because let's face it, we had more shots in that game than they did. You know, as a stat, we didn't have as many on target as they did, unfortunately, and as many go in the net as they did, unfortunately. But we still created as much, if not more, than they did. We had good possession of the ball. It looked to me like we played a very good game of football. And I think it was nice to see that we didn't go. But how we've said so many times that, you know, we could have maybe battled in and got a draw and sat back and snuck a goal or something like that. But we didn't. We took the game to them. We took a fight to them. And when you're 2-1 down and you're throwing everything at the other end, apart from the kitchen sink, you're going to have yourself opened up at the back and an opportunity to concede. And they're obviously very clinical, aren't they? So they're going to take those opportunities. But I'd rather see us do that and lose 3-1 than, you know, try and sit and defend a 2-1 or even a 2-2, you know?
Yeah, I think. And I heard people say, oh, 2-2 would have been amazing. And we got so close on a number of occasions. And yes, we did. But you're also thinking, although the game plan would probably change if once we scored a second and then looked to defend the rest of the game out, I still wouldn't have been surprised if the game had finished 3-2. It had that kind of nature to it, that it only took Plymouth one opportunity, and they're as clinical as they are, as we've been saying, that yeah, they're up there for a reason. So no issues there. Let's get stuck into Tuesday then. On the face of it, a game that Pompey on paper probably should win, and thankfully we did win. But we let the game run and run. Goal scoring opportunity after goal scoring opportunity. Two fabulous saves from former Pompey goalkeeper Craig McGilvery. Two excellent saves also from Josh Oloyemi as well in the Pompey goal, which must get a mention. And ultimately, Pompey rewarded with the 3 points that they deserve from the game.
Yeah, I think so. You know, looking at what happened in that game, we had a lot of very good opportunities. Yeah, they had a couple of good opportunities as well, but I think we created more. I think we were the better side throughout the game. And it's a bit of a shame, really. It took us the 90 plus second or whatever to score that goal. But it's good for Dane Scarlett. You know, great for him to get on the score sheet. Great for him to be in the right place at the right time. Hopefully that gives him a little boost of confidence. You know, I still partially worry a little bit about him. I don't know how into it he is watching his celebration. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but
it might have been off the back of a lot of stick that he got last week for not dispatching to Paddy Lane on his left-hand side in that video clip that we all saw.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah. It may well have been something to do with that. But it was nice to see him to score a goal and to prove that he should be playing in the team. Yeah, like watching that there. Yeah, horrendous. He should have released that ball every day of the week, shouldn't he? Like you said, it was a clear cut. Paddy Lane's like almost not one-on-one with a keeper, but he's the last man. He can put a ball across the box. He's got no pressure. I mean, he's going to have all the time in the world to sling that ball across and put it into a good place. And Dane's trying to do a bit too much with it there, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, part of me worries a little bit about him. You know, after the goal, he was very emotionless. I thought, you know, after not scoring for so long, being in a bit of a drought, scoring that goal would be like a full-on burst of emotion and that feeling of drive of, yes, I really wanted that. That's amazing. Whereas I kind of got an impression that the team were happier about the goal than he was as an individual. Now, whether that's just him answering his critics and being like, look what I can do, over, like we said, that elation, and he has got that elation inside of him. I just hope that he has got that hunger and drive, because I think without that at his age, if he doesn't have that hunger and drive for it, he isn't going to continually progress in the confidence chain, and he's not going to continue to progress in the goal scoring chain as well.
He is also 18 as well, we should say.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You're scoring a goal and you're 18 years old in front of Fratton in the 90 plus second minute for you to win after you haven't scored for months on months on months. You should be bouncing off the ceiling. Like I would be, anyone else would be in that situation. I would be jumping for joy. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I wouldn't know how to celebrate. I'd have no idea. I'd have probably ran into a grandstand or something at that point. I'd have been so happy. Whereas he just looked emotionless, like it was like nothing. Like, oh yeah, I've scored a goal. And what? Whereas I feel like, I don't know, I don't know whether that's him answering his critics in the way he is, but I really hope that inside of him somewhere he's got that drive and that hunger and that love for it, because if he doesn't have that, he isn't going to get much further than where he is now, I don't think.
It's not like he just stood on the spot. He did run towards the Fratton end, and he's sort of like as if you were scoring against your own old team, I suppose. It felt like that kind of celebration.
Yeah.
As it goes, Dane Scarlett's never played for Burton, funnily enough, so there's no argument for that. I know. Yeah, he's a weird one that he hasn't. But you would have thought, coming from Tottenham's academy straight to Pompey, there'd be some opportunity to go to Burton in there, but there sadly wasn't. You mentioned Paddy Lane there earlier on when we were just talking about that ball that he didn't dispatch at Home Park. Paddy Lane made his debut, his Pompey debut, from the starting 11 on Tuesday. Him and Dale looked to, they didn't make his debut, made his debut from the starting 11, I should say. Him and Dale looked to certainly drive the ball all night long. All night long. that's drawing Albion in kind of drawing them in shape, and we made them as narrow as we possibly could to let Ogilvy and Rafferty overlap. Rafferty, of course, back in the starting 11 for the first time in 5 months and thrown into a full 90 minutes and looked like he'd never been gone. What did you make of the performance overall on Tuesday?
Like I said earlier, I think that we were the better team. I think that it's nice to see. We've been saying it for a little while that we, you know, since we started this podcast, really more than anything, we only seem to have one way of getting the ball into the box. And that's what we've always had, which was Mingy and Dale. And that's what we saw at Charlton. That's what we saw at MK. Those two played outstanding games, Dale in particular, putting the ball in the box, creating opportunities. And that seemed to be the only way we could create opportunities. So having this another outlet now in Paddy Lane, with obviously him starting in the game and really integrating himself into the club, is great to see. And I think that it just gives us that other opportunity and another way of breaking down a team. It makes us less predictable in the way that we're going to set up and the way we're going to play. It makes it harder for the defence. The defence can't just mark one side of the pitch and mark one man out of the game. They've got to think more laterally than that. They've got to spread themselves better, at which point you create more holes, more opportunity to get the balls into the right places. The strikers have got more room. It just works in so many ways to make us a better side and make us more threatening going forward. And I think we've missed that for a little while. You know, I've been to obviously quite a few Pompey games over my lifetime, and I've seen us play in all seasons for the last however many years. And for the last few years, we've seemed a bit toothless, in my opinion. We've seemed like a sort of team that we get the ball, we hold on to it well, we move it around well, we pass it well amongst ourselves, but as soon as it goes to putting the ball in the box, we just never look like scoring a goal. Whereas I think we're turning a corner with that now. I think Colby Bishop has been outstanding so far this season. I think he's been a fantastic asset for us. And he's scored a lot of goals without having a lot of opportunities to score a lot of goals, in honesty. So, you know, he's taken his chances well. And hopefully with the addition, like we said, of Paddy Lane coming into the side, Morel playing a bit more now he's back to full fitness as well. I think that there's some really good players, really good attacking players that we have in there that can drive us forward to the end of the season. And I do feel like we do have an opportunity of playoffs still, even though we lost to Plymouth. I think there's still that chance there.
Well, we're going to chat about Joe Morel in a minute because he got a deserved man of the match on Tuesday night. Before we do so, and that's actually something that I wanted to bring up with you, is I think the reason for what you're saying, and I completely agree that we are beginning to turn a corner, and that's not myself and Ollie getting overexcited about a sort of a 5 or 6 crop of games under the new management. But I feel like before with Kenny Jackett and Danny Cowley, there was the Pompey way of playing, wasn't there? You would play a certain dimension of football, and you know, you'd knock the ball around in the same way we normally did. You know, you'd have very few changes to the starting 11. The only ones that we would really change would be enforced changes. You'd have your favourites that you'd pick every week, and you'd play a certain style of play. And to the end, we weren't really even playing any kind of style of play under Danny. We wanted to play fast-paced attacking football, and it just wasn't happening. With Massinio, you can clearly see that actually John takes it on a game-by-game basis. So the game plan against Plymouth away from home was completely different to the game plan against Burton on Tuesday night. Plymouth, you wanted to sit in and defend deep and try and stop as many crosses into the box as possible and catch on the counter and being incisive and clinical with your football, vis-a-vis that Dane Scarlett running away with it on the counter. You know, there were no counter-attacks from Pompey on Tuesday night. It was all about the build-up play. It was about being intricate. 68% possession tells you everything you need to know. It was about loaning the balls into the box and seeing what could come off the end of it. I actually thought that was the best I've seen us all season in terms of deliveries into the box, actually meeting their players and landing on the penalty spot. And some of the crossing from, you know, Rafferty, Ogilvy, even Paddy Lane can really get an Owen Dale. All four of them can put a ball in. I like the way we're kind of playing around each other. I feel like, although when you look at the possession stats and you look at our structure, we're still very well structured in our makeup. Kind of Joe Morel can find himself the widest player on the right-hand side sometimes, and then he can be cut inside and he can play in that midfield role. We'll chat about him. He took the defensive transition incredibly well, and he was orchestrating the football in the absence of Marlon Pack, who was sat on the row, on our row, actually. I haven't told you about this, but he was sat on our row, obviously in corporate to the left. But I kept glancing across to get a glimpse of the beautiful man, of course. He was right in my line. I could see him right there. How nice is it to know that without Marlon Pack, the team can continue to function under John Mousinho, do well in the game? Seen as before, and I think this is what you're saying in terms of turning the corner, we were saying if Marlon Pack sneezes, the rest of the team catch a cold. We're actually doing all right when he's not involved now.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, really, with the way that we're more dynamic than we used to be. Kenny Jackett was 4-5-1. That was it. That's what we turned up with. That's what we played week on, week out. Under Cowley, we maybe got a little bit stale. Maybe a little bit was injury issues that we had at the time. Lack of investment, those kind of things, which maybe frustrated him and his team a little bit, which then caused unrest in the camp, and therefore we lost confidence and all those kind of things. There's a number of reasons why I think that relationship didn't work out in the end. I don't think it's all down to tactically, but I know what you're saying there completely. It does seem like it's nice to see a manager coming in and making decisions that the fans want. You know, we sit on the sidelines every game watching it, week in, week out, and we see the things happen, and we look from hindsight and we go, oh, we should have bought such and such on. Whereas he actually is bringing such and such on, and he actually is making those decisions. Like, look at, we scored our last goal. So Burton at home, we're 0-0 down, going into 90th minute. At that point on the pitch, we're not defending a draw. We've got Dane Scarlett on the pitch, Piggott on the pitch, Colby
off
Bishop
the bench.
On the pitch. Yeah,
all Dane the... and Piggott both off the bench.
Yeah, we got three strikers on the pitch at 0-0 down at home after not winning our last game. Now, that is a ballsy move, because if that goes wrong, we lose 1-0, we look like a bunch of idiots. But he's done it because he believes the team should be winning that game. And that's what we all want to see. We go, oh, you should have bought these strikers and you should have made these changes. Now he is. But it's great to see someone who looks at it from that perspective. Like we said with Plymouth, yeah, we lost 3-1. But actually, when we were 2-1 down, we were fighting for it. We were going for it. And you sooner see that than us sit back trying to defend a 2-1 loss away at Home Park and go, oh, yeah, it was closer because we lost 2-1. Well, no one cares. A loss is a loss. I'd sooner see us lose 4-1 but give a game a really good go than sit on a 2-1 loss and defend and do nothing and create nothing. So I think he is a little bit more dynamic, maybe, and I think he is a bit more fresh to it, and he's making some good choices at the right times. And at the moment, I'm very happy with what John Mousinho is doing for us. I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I think he has so far. I don't think anyone can really say that he's not, you know, not delivered to this point. I don't think, it's not by no means flawless, but it's not going to be in our league at our level with the injuries we've had and players coming back. And
three wins, two losses and a draw.
Yeah, a bit of a makeshift team. We've played some good teams, like we're saying about Lincoln coming up. You know, that's not going to be an easy match. That's going to be a real tough battle, Lincoln, especially away from home. That is not going to be good. So we need to realise that there are some big teams in this league still. There are some big challenges ahead of us, but I think we're trending in the right direction, and I think that we're moving in the right direction. It's great to see something a bit young and a bit fresh coming through with new ideas and seeing how that progresses.
The only thing I would add to that in terms of inspired substitutions, it's absolutely ties in with what you're saying about the shrewd management of the team at the minute. But I know we mentioned Peterborough a little while ago. Rico came off the bench. I know it was disallowed, but he's the ball's in the back of the net. That was a bit of a contentious one. Barnsley, you look at... you know, you look at the impact that the substitutions had there. Rico comes on and scores against Plymouth to make it 2-1 when he comes off the bench. And then on Tuesday night, as we were saying, Dane Scarlett comes off the bench, Joe Piggott comes off the bench. And, you know, it reminded me of moments of the domination that we had in the Cambridge game, where we'd overload the wide areas, free either fall back up, depending on the channel. And that plan worked perfectly. You create the option for Ogilvy to put that really inviting ball in. As I mentioned, many balls were inviting on Tuesday. And Piggott brings it down as a sub. Dane finishes off. Yeah, the celebration's not there, but the ball's in the back of the net in it. So, yeah. And that's all that matters.
Ogilvy really impressed me, actually.
Yep.
I was always a little bit critical of him, I think. I don't know if I voiced it that much here, but mentally I was certainly critical of him. And I think he played really well against Burton. I just think he put in a good performance, in honesty. And that little shuffle he did out wide to get the ball in the box, I think he did really well, and he read the defender well. The defender was obviously very leggy at that point, and he kind of read that, and he still looked lively, still looked fit in that 90th minute chucking the ball in. So yeah, I think he played really well in that position. So I have mentally apologised to to Ogilvy for what I was thinking about him. But no, I think he's doing really well. And it's nice to see, like we said, it's nice to see these players coming back in and coming into the squad. And even in the absence of someone like Marlon Pack, who obviously brings a lot of wisdom with him, let's say, and experience in football, you know, we're still able to perform at a high level, even with like a very youthful setup, which is also really nice to see. You know, I think having a young setup is a good thing in a lot of ways. It has its challenges within experience of knowing what to do at the right moments, and maybe mistakes may creep in, but they're all been playing for years, these boys, and they seem to be gelling really well and playing really well. So it's great to see.
So, well, you've got Marlon Pack to come back. Also, don't forget, you know, Jay Mingy, Tom Lowry, Ronan Curtis, all to come back from injury as well. So future looks very bright. You mentioned earlier on Lincoln being a tough test. The only remaining unbeaten side at home in the league. A lot of their league games have ended in draws, so we should bear that in mind. But they've recruited really well in January. They operate in a diamond in possession, always looking to get in behind, and they'll want to play football on Saturday. And hopefully Pompey can come out with 3 points. What do you reckon?
I think if they go into it wanting to play football, we've got a good chance. And I've been pretty wrong in my predictions. Although technically I was right in Plymouth. I did say 3-1. I just got the wrong way round. But yeah, I think that if they come out to play football against us and they don't just chuck a load of people behind the ball and chuck in some heavy challenges every now and again, I think it was... I think that there's an opportunity for us to go there and create some opportunities and score some goals. And I hope we go into it in that attacking sense of mind. And again, if we're 1-1 going into the last few minutes, I'd sooner see us have 3 strikes on the pitch and lose 2-1 than trying to defend a 1-1 draw away from home. I think that we need to go to these games to win the games. If we lose them, so be it. But let's go out there. Let's go fighting for it.
Best case, worst case time, everybody. Last week, Ollie said, well, Ollie didn't say, last week, Pompey were 10th. We're still 10th. Ollie did say best case was playoffs and 5th. Their gap is now 12 points to the playoffs rather than 9. Has your mind changed?
No.
Still 5th.
I still think 5th's an opportunity. Like I said before, we're not going to win every game. I didn't ever expect us to be honest with you, in my mind going into this week, lose to Plymouth, beat Burton. That was pretty set in my head. So that we came out with that result, 3 points out of those 2 games, I think it's a good 3 points to have. If we got 4 points, we would have been elated. But I think that was like the real best case scenario. You're not going to win every game. The teams above us aren't going to win every game. And we've still got an opportunity to get there. We need to beat teams like Lincoln, obviously. If we can go to Lincoln and get a win this weekend, I think that will really push us forward. Score against Lincoln, cool.
2-1 Pompey, personally.
I just really want to see us hammer someone. I just want to see like a 4-1 or a 3-0 or something like that. That's what I want to see. I don't really.
It was 3-0 last time there, last time we played them. So same again.
I think I'm going to go and I'm going to actually predict this, not just because it's the name of the channel, but I'm going to predict 4-0 Pompey and it's going to happen because I think we're due a game where we just score goals. I think we're creating a lot and we've got the right players now.
It's going to open at some point, yeah.
It's got to happen at some point and it may as well happen to a team that haven't lost at home. Yeah. You know, that's the way I think about it. I think every game's winnable. I don't care who you're playing. We've got a chance to go and win it and we need to have that attitude of winning it. Like I said before, we need to be positive and I think that we've got an opportunity with a good set of young players and a good fit team now to go out and actually to win this game. So let's go win it and let's win it convincingly.
Well, from myself and Delusional Ollie, thank you for listening to another week of the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. It's been great to have you with us. Ollie reckons a 4-0. I'm going to go for a 2-1. We'd like to hear your score prediction. We'd also like to hear where you're listening from. Thanks for joining us once again. Keep the faith. And as always, from Delusional Ollie,
play up Pompey.
Play up Pompey.